affect.
In the Etymological Dictionary, I found a small note suggesting that, in Middle French, affecté meant to assume the character of someone. It is also linked to aiming, aspiring, desiring. I love how the phrase assume the character of someone oscillates between two meanings. It could mean to place oneself in someone else's shoes, to pretend to be that person, or, read differently, to assume could mean to have a fixed idea about the character of someone. This duality of the term affecté hints at an inherent instability or unauthenticity. That affect is always a kind of performance, a kind of fake, but still it is assumed, taken as granted, read as believable.
Channel. Dear Goddess, I want to channel my inner Britney, my inner grumpy cat, my never realized ice bucket challenge. I want to channel my inner shirtless Putin on a horse, my inner duck face, my inner dancing baby, my inner disaster girl, my inner ever given. I will release these spirits into the fiberglass networks and bind them of ever becoming NFTs.
Chorus.
There is a poem by Julianne Spa in which she often describes an unhearable song. There are many voices in it. She says, songs in their most popular versions tend to be epiphanic, gorgeous, with swelling chord changes, full of lament too. In the middle of the song, there's a chorus, and they sing. It may be that only through the minor we can feel enormity. It may be that there is nothing to epiphany if it does not hint at the moment of sweaty relation larger than the intimate.
Dichotomy.
It was a December evening, and I was working on the soundtrack for one of my films with an Austrian experimental vocalist. The idea was to recreate sounds of a natural environment through her voice. She was giving tonal shapes to the trees that were softly moving. Her voice was strong and warm. Suddenly, I heard a second voice emerging, along with the first one, a very high-pitched, fragile, and somewhat shaky voice. Two voices became hearable at once, emerged from the same body. I learned later that this is the result of a refined singing technique. I keep wondering, though, how would effective computing devices interpret it if we spoke to them in dual or even polyphonic voices? Maybe we need to question dichotomies and polyphonize our voices when learning to speak with echo. Fantasy echo.
Yesterday, I had coffee with two friends from the East Coast. As it goes with these transatlantic chit-chats, we had the usual part where everyone was joking about US politicians. And well, after New York Governor Andrew Cuomo just resigned after accusations of sexual harassment, they asked me if I remembered Eliot Spitzer, another resigned New York governor. They told me about his scandal, his resignation, and so on, and apparently, after his resignation, he got into teaching. DJing. Well, the fantasy I was echoing back was DJing instead of teaching. Retired from office, Spitzer is now DJing. Where was he DJing, I thought? At wedding receptions, in clubs, on private chats, or as an in-store DJ? On the next season of Below Deck, as a private DJ to the super rich?
Indistinction.
I like to think of noise as a raw, blurry material that needs to be filtered first to become legible, and that the process of differentiating is a way of making sense of the world surrounding us. I imagine this filtering as a kind of conversation between the external auditory vibrations and the internal psychic and emotional layers of the listening body. However, as I read on a company's website, even the production of noise itself can be a way of deliberately filtering the world for us. Quote, as noise pollution continues to increase with the urbanization of culture, noise filtering or masking is becoming more important to enable people to sleep, think, and work more efficiently. White noise, for example, can be used in doctors' and therapists' offices to provide privacy between the patients in the office and those in the waiting room. White noise machines are able to provide a full spectrum sound to mask conversations or external street noise. End quote.
Inarticulate.
I was trying to say something. First, I tried to put it down, to write it down. It didn't work well. Then I tried to say it. I opened my mouth. Nothing. Another failed attempt. I mean, really, have you ever tried to explain what cannot be shaped by words? This is what I'm doing now. But sentences won't help, not even the spaces between the words. Is this enough? And if it is, can you see its inexpressive appearance? Can you taste its missing tongue?